それはアウトオブのバウドル、キノザイン、アウトオブのバウドルから、ヨシーブ、a network of yeshivas, not just the Novadic yeshiva was actually a network of yeshivas.And of course, supporting a network of yeshivas is a big deal. So, at one point, Alto Navaldo came up with a simple solution, which everyone's yeshiva should think of, how you can easily support an entire yeshiva network. He decided he was going to buy a lottery ticket. Buy a lottery ticket, and that's it. The challenge of supporting all the yeshivas is simply taken care of.So he bought a lottery ticket, and then something very surprising happened. His lottery ticket didn't win. Okay, what might we say? We would say, cute idea, but life goes back to normal. But the Alter Navala didn't respond that way. He sat down to make Cheshbon HaNefesh. Why did I not win the lottery? And he drew conclusions. He took it as a message from Hashem.That such a thing should happen to him when he's trying to do Hashem's Ratzon, that he should not win the lottery. He took it as a message. It's like a tzara that a person went through, and he tried to draw the right conclusions. And his conclusion was that apparently that's not the way Hashem intends yeshivas to be run. Yeshivas are meant to be run in Mesiras Nefesh. He made a whole parasha out of it that Hashem.Gave him a certain message of distance for taking this step. So here, let's take this a step further. I have also experienced this week a certain message of distance from Hashem. I was in the Makolet, this really happened to me this week. I was in the Makolet, I wanted to get one thing of milk. I knew that I had 5 shekel on me.And I reached into my pocket and all I found was agurot coins. I had forgotten that I had moved, for whatever reason, I had moved the 5 shekel coin to my jacket pocket. So, okay, I dropped the idea, I'm not going to get the milk, I couldn't find it. Until afterwards, when I left the makor that I found, I went back in and I got the milk. Now, if I'm going to say that that was a tzara, that was yisurin, that would sound ridiculous, but that's what Chazal said.And Chazal said, Yisurin is, sticking your hand in for one coin, coming up with a different coin. And you have to stick your hand back into your pocket, or rummage around a little more and find the right coins. What are Chazal trying to make vetches out of us? Imagine a person who really views himself as a Baal Yisurin for things of this magnitude. Chazal trying to make vetches out of us? So, the story of Alter and Navadok should put this into proper perspective.Obviously, Chazal are trying to convey something here. The Alter of Navadik was famous for his bitachon. What does bitachon really mean? Bitachon means living with the absolute sense of being in Hashem's hands totally and completely. If a person is really totally and completely feeling that he is in Hashem's hands and Hashem is carrying through life, there is no reason why he should conceive that he wouldn't win the lottery ticket if he buys a ticket. That was how the Alter of Navadik lived.To the extent that it was a slap in the face when he didn't win the lottery. If we're living with such a keen realization of what Hashem is and the fact that he's intensely focused on us, then yes, you stuck your hand in for one coin and you came up with a different coin, it's just a slap in the face. Why'd that happen? Why should it happen? It's too minor or for Hashem to be on top of? Hashem's on top of much smaller things in your body.Why should that happen? Just what? The problem is that we don't really know what it means to be close enough to Hashem. The problem is that we are used to a reality with this reality. That's how all of that works. You're right. Not everything is going to work out exactly. But Chazal are trying to bring home exactly the other way around. Yes, if you stuck your hand into your pocket and you came up with the wrong coin, it should be an acute reminder that we're not as close as Hashem as we could be and should be, because if we were, why would that not happen? Hashem, he can't keep on top of small details? Why would that not happen? And on the contrary, Another annoying thing happened to me yesterday morning. I woke up in the morning and there wasn't anybody standing by my bed to serve me coffee. It only happened to me yesterday. Happened the day before too. Now, I might sound a little spoiled, but I read that they were bringing back when Senior George Bush, the day after he moved back home, he lost the elections and then he moved back home. So apparently, I don't know if anybody here lived in the White House, but apparently that's the way it works. You wake up in the morning, you press a button when you're ready, and there's a whole team comes in to, you have your morning routine the way you like it, and they're all there ready to provide it for you. So that first morning, he was back home, and he's reaching around for the button. His wife noticed that he's like in half asleep. He's rummaging around for the button, and she like told him very gently, the kitchen is downstairs. And they were bringing this out like as a certain poignant point of the Tsar. Now we think of that, the Tsar. No, you enjoy 4 years. But the truth is that in halacha he's right. What's the halacha? The halacha is that if there was an ani, if there was a poor person who came to you and said, I just lost my fortune, now I can't afford to have a service of people bringing me coffee in bed, the halacha would be we'd have to provide it for him. Because it is pathetic. If that's what a person is used to, the halacha is de machzorei, right? If that's what a person grew accustomed to, it is pathetic if he has to be without that. So therefore, we're coming back to our discussion. The fact that we could reach into our pocket and come up with the wrong coin should be pathetic. Being close to Hashem, having Hashem really involved in your life, and the way that he really is, it's just that he's holding back, would be an experience of life like Reb Chanina ben Daisa. You light vinegar, and there's absolutely no reason that it shouldn't light. Who makes olive oil light? What's the pshat of that? The pshat, it's a mindset, it's a mentality. It's not just something that he said off the cuff, an expression of bitachon on the spot. When he saw olive oil burning, he saw Hashem at work. That's what he saw. So for him, there was mamish no difference at all between olive oil and vinegar. Because you come explain to him the properties of olive oil that make it burn. What makes those properties make it burn? It's all just Hashem's decisions. If you're living keenly with that way, so you live with the expectation that, okay, so I put vinegar in, so Hashem will make that burn. What's the big deal? If we're living close with Hashem, if we live with the sense of being close with Hashem, on a true enough madrega of appreciating what that means, then every inconvenience in life is a slap in the face. And this really, without coming on to the big Tzoras Rachmana Litzlan, is the tragedy of the Churban. Exactly to what extent does this mean that every person in the first place on Mikdash, it never happened that stuck his hand in and came up with the wrong coin? I don't know if every person, but there's no question that the reality of the first place on Mikdash was that many people did live that way. So in this kina, there's what seems to be almost an accusatory tone. The tone is, just give an example, a few of the more poignant ones, the kina. How have you abandoned us in your anger and cheapened us cheapened your home through foreigners, and you didn't remember the closeness of our chasana when you gave us the chukim et chayrit? How did you make efforts to tear apart your beloved sheep and you didn't remember the close friendship that we had? A certain accusatory tone almost, chas v'shalom. And I once heard someone give a whole thing about this, which is, in my head, I think it should be pasha that it's mamish chiruv v'giduv. You hear people saying this sometimes about Rachmana Litzlan, a person who went through the Holocaust and afterwards expressed himself negatively about Hashem. And you'll hear people say that, on the contrary, sometimes an expression of hatred really shows love. If we want to say that as a limud zchus, if we want to say that as an after-this-fact perspective on understanding that we can't relate to people who went through such terrible tzaras, that's fine. But chas v'shalom, to turn that into an approach, that we should say, yes, you go through a tzara, there's a certain legitimacy to expressing yourself that way about Hashem. Chas v'shalom. And that's not how this kina is meant to be taken. That, yeah, if I'm close enough to Hashem, I can express myself with an accusatory tune. No, that can't be a mahalak for us. That can't be a mahalak for us. But what is the understanding? The understanding is that what we're trying to do in this kina is describe to ourselves, in order to really hurt our reality today, and reality is pretty good. It's not so bad. But to really focus on the intense closeness, when we say that Hashem showed us such intense closeness to each of these things, when we say, you didn't remember, you didn't remember, you didn't remember, we're focusing on the intense closeness that Hashem showed us, and therefore the pain for seeing the distance should be all that more acute. And that's why Taki, you see this, I saw a bacha was singing once in Purim, and I was in yeshiva, he was singing Keili Keili Lama Azavtoni. Hashem, why have you forsaken me? It bothered me that he seemed a little too serious. Hashem, why have you forsaken me? He seemed a little too serious. He was crying with tears streaming down his face. Now, David HaMelech said it. But where was it coming from when David HaMelech said it? It's not just that when a person, you go through life, when you're especially depressed, you suddenly turn that toward Hashem and say, Hashem, why have you forsaken me? If a person is living every moment of life, feeling Hashem involved in his life, and then all of a sudden something happens that doesn't stick with that, so there's an automatic, Hashem, where are you? Hashem, why have you forsaken me? But if a person is not living that way, and all of a sudden when things go bad, that's when he remembers Hashem, and he turns with kindness against Hashem, that's blasphemous. Look at Birkas HaMazon. Birkas HaMazon, we daven for the tzoros of Klal Yisrael, but it comes after Noide Lecha Hashem Elokeinu, after we go through noting all the different areas where Hashem is intensely involved in our life, and how close Hashem is to us. And then we move on to Rachem, when we talk about the tzoros of Klal Yisrael. On the contrary, the more we feel Hashem in our life, and the more we understand how close we should be to Hashem, the more painful those elements of distance are. So on the contrary, it's not that I have some tzara. Well, let's wake up and pin it on Hashem. But exactly the other way around. If we really feel Hashem's closeness, and we really feel Hashem's love, then even smaller things that we wouldn't take as a tzara hurt. Yes, if I stick my hand into my pocket and I come up with the wrong coin, it hurts. If I mamish felt intimate with Hashem a minute beforehand. So here we focus in order to try to adrava, develop that sense of everything that I wouldn't think is a problem is a problem. It's by focusing on the intense closeness that Hashem did show us and trying to connect to it, try to experience it a little bit more. And then, yes, every tiny imperfection in life, we're not kvetches, but we're people with standards, we're demachsoyim, we're people who understand what it means to be close to Hashem. And if so, every tiny imperfection in life is a reminder of the fact that the way Hashem really set it up is that he's so much closer that those wouldn't be happening.